Every verb has a tense and a voice. The aspect of the verb which tells us when the action occurred is called the tense. Voice indicates whether the subject performs the action or is acted upon. A simple grammar lesson. But nothing is simple in the grammar of time. Tense only begins to describe how the subject feels when the voice comes from beyond. Vanishing point.
Is anyone there? Is anyone there? Can anyone hear me?
A millionth time. Anyone at all? No. No, of course not. And if you could hear me, I'd never know it. Of course, someday, someone else will find the way here, and who knows? They may still find me. So, listen, all of you out there. Listen, if you're born yet, and if you're not, listen anyway. Because one day, one of you is going to stumble on the same thing Uncle Corliss did, and learn what I did the day I visited his lab. And then you'll be sorry. Very sorry. Oh, very, very sorry.
Here's the CRBC News for Wednesday, October 16th, 1935. Newly elected government of Liberal leader Mackenzie King.
Roger, my boy, what a delightful surprise. Folks, just turn off that mindless squawking, will you? And don't trip over that cable, there's a ditch. Congratulations. Just pass me those pliers, will you?
Of course, Uncle.
Here you are. Thank you. You've never been the most devoted of nephews. To what am I to attribute this sudden excess of family affection?
Well, you know, I'm always interested in whatever you're doing, Uncle Corliss. Science was always my favorite subject.
In a pig's eye. I know that greedy look. Screwdriver.
Here, sir.
You're hoping for a loan if you butter me up enough. I'm afraid in your case, snake oil is the more appropriate lubricant.
This isn't like the other times, Uncle. No, really, it isn't.
Nonsense. One more of your loose women howling for pearls and caviar again, of course.
No, Uncle, this one is rich. And if I marry Andrea, I'll never have to come and ask for money again.
Forget it. Not a chance. The squalor of your character has been an unending delight to me ever since you could crawl, but there's a limit to how much I'm prepared to pay for my entertainment, Wrench.
Uncle, if you think I came here just to be insulted,
I know you came here just to filch money. But now that you're here, it occurs to me I do have a use for you. Wait a minute. There now. I'm perfectly aware, dear Roger, that you haven't a bean to support the self-indulgence which you laughably consider your birthright. But if you're going to get any more money from me, you'll earn it. Shocking as the novelty may be for you.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Be a guinea pig in one of my experiments.
Uncle Corliss, your crackers.
I've never seen her in my life. If you follow instructions, you'll be perfectly safe. And a lot richer.
Tell me about it.
With pleasure. Ever hear of a time travel machine?
I don't read fantasy.
Fantasy hell. Look on the table in front of you. What's this?
Looks like a pair of earmuffs.
Idiot.
Well, like those headphones they used to use on old crystal sets.
It's a radio transmitter and receiver. Tips to your belt. I have invented the world's first portable radio device.
So that's what it is. It's a radio?
I told you, it's a time travel machine.
Well, that's impossible.
It's not. I've done it. Certain rare sound waves, deliberately controlled, can move people and things around in time.
And you've learned to do this?
Yes.
And if I put the earphones on and turn on the machine, then...
Then you'll travel back in time. The longer the sound waves are switched on, the further back you go. 2 minutes or 2 billion years, as you choose. Now, put on these headphones.
Well, then just how would I come back to the present again?
Reverse the current. This button here.
Well, I mean, how do I know the damn thing won't do something terrible to me?
Would you use your head for something else besides showing off Brill Cream? I told you, you'll be perfectly safe. Now, alter the setting to broad beam focus.
Broad.
With narrow focus, only what's between the headphones goes back. Broad focus, the whole machine goes back with whatever or whomever it's transporting. Has to be that way, or a time traveler could never get back to his own time, you see?
You mean if he went back too far without the machine or anybody here to beam him back, he'd die of old age before he was born?
Exactly.
Oh.
Stop worrying. I'll show you. It's harmless. Put on the headphones and clip the power source to your belt.
Uncle, I'm not sure. I really want to get in.
You're only going back 6 or 7 minutes. No more. To when you first came in here just now. Come on. Come on, be a good boy and do it.
Uncle.
Remember the pearls and caviar for Andrea.
All right. I'll do it.
Well, wonderful what love can do for a boy's courage, isn't it?
Now, does it matter which side the power box goes on?
Now, get these headphones on your ears. Set the timer yourself. Go on.
All right. We'll try 7 minutes.
Keep the power band on broad focus so the machine goes with you.
Oh, I can hardly hear you. Earphones too tight.
Broad focus.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Now, come in here.
Why?
Observation room. One-way glass. So you can see without being seen.
Why?
Why? You sound like a 3-year-old. Just get in.
But, all right, but why?
So you don't scare yourself silly when you meet yourself 7 minutes ago.
What?
Never mind. It's 2:05 p.m. You're going back to 1:58. Just push the activating button.
Will you be coming too?
How can I? I'm already there.
What?
Just push the bloody button.
You don't have to shout.
Push!
All right. I'm... What is... Uncle Corliss? Uncle Corliss? Where are you?
Well, finally.
Well, how did you get in my earphones?
Loosen that damn headset. I can barely hear you.
All right. I said, how did you get in my earphones? Where are you?
I'm right in the room beside you, but I'm 7 minutes in the future, dummy.
My God.
What is it now?
We're both out there. On the other side of the glass, we're talking to each other.
Of course we are. You twitted 7 minutes ago, and you've just arrived.
I have?
If you don't believe it, open the door very softly, just a crack, and listen, but quietly. Remember, your earlier self hasn't been told about time travel yet. Don't scare him.
No, God, no. No, we mustn't do that.
Just open the door very gently and listen.
Uncle, this one is rich. If I marry Andrea, I'll never have to come and ask for money again.
Forgive. Have a chance.
My God.
Really believe you're back in time?
I have to. Two of them. Is there a third me back there with you?
Don't be absurd, Roger. When you went back in time there, you vanished from here.
Thank God.
That's enough now. Close the door.
How do I get back again? Quickly.
Cut the master switch first.
Check.
Now review your timer.
7 minutes.
Good. Now reverse the current to come back to the present.
Reverse current. Check.
Oh, I'm back, thank God.
You see? Foolproof.
Yes, foolproof. It never occurred to me. There are so many things one could do.
Roger Pennythorne. You can forget those little plans your conniving mind is developing and listen to me.
But, Uncle,
I'll have Corliss, no get-rich-quick schemes or treasure hunting in my bailiwick. And the past is my bailiwick. It's my invention to open it up and my machine that keeps the key, you understand?
Of course, sir.
I'm going to use that machine purely to satisfy my curiosity about all sorts of things in the past. How the pyramids were built and where Hungarians actually came from and a thousand other things that actually matter.
Well, in that case, Uncle, I guess there's nothing for me to do but give you what you're asking for.
You'd better.
Where, I mean, in what part of history would you like to start?
Why, at the very beginning, Roger. Where else? Oh, say, well, 5 million years ago? I'm sure something more or less human was walking around by then.
If you just show me how to put the machine on properly. The clip from the power source nearly came off. I'm all tangled up in headphone wires.
Lord, you're clumsy. Here, give it to me. Now, watch.
Ah, oh, thank you. Well, I can't loosen the bands on these headphones. I can't see them very well.
For heaven's sake, let me put them on. Here, look.
5 million B.C., did you say?
I think we'll start you there, yes. What are you doing? That's the narrow focus switch, dimwit. Roger, what are you doing?
Sending you to the hominids, Uncle Corliss. Hope they weren't cannibals back then.
No! Don't touch that main switch! Roger! No!
My God. At least the machine's still here. But you, dear uncle, have gone, I fear, to join your fellow dinosaurs.
Roger, you son of a bitch.
What? My God. You survived a 5 million year jump?
Get me out of here. Bring me back at once.
Oh, but, I don't know how.
I showed you how you...
Well, but the machine is here with me. I seem to have got the wrong focus. I don't know. What can I do?
You little bastard.
Why, not language, Uncle. Language. You'll shock the poor Neanderthals or Pithecanthropoops.
I'll shock you,
home.
You little...
What is it?
Plant the size of a Studebaker. It nearly ate me.
And that, dearly beloved Uncle, that is where you were going to send me?
You? Oh, no, really, dear boy, I didn't... Roger.
Yes?
Roger, there are shapes coming near in the fog. They're walking on two legs. Almost. Roger, help.
Goodbye, Uncle Corliss. Turning you off now.
No!
Oh, I was so sure that the world was mine for the taking, or at least the past and future parts of it, once I'd deposited Uncle Corliss back in the great evolutionary playpen. Almost at once, a wonderful idea came up and hit me over the head. Everybody nowadays knows the richest areas of the world, but who can afford them now? But I could go back to a time before their value was known and buy into them for a song, at a time when $1,000 was a fortune. The oil fields of East Texas, for instance. Worthless land, till the gushers started spouting in the 1920s. I broke into Uncle Corliss's safe and the time machine, and I took a train to Dallas on the proceeds. Then I drove out to East Texas and traveled back to 1855.
Gonna buy land, you say? Around here?
That's right, around here. Right around here.
Mister, I don't know who's been leading you down the garden path, but y'all must be plumb loco to want any of this here territory.
Well, I want as much of it as they'll sell.
Well, that's the way y'all want it.
It is. That, yellow flag on the farmhouse, it's the third one I've seen this morning.
Yep.
Well, what does it mean? Country fair or something?
It means typhoid. Bad epidemic up and down these parts.
Typhoid? Nobody gets typhoid.
What do you mean, nobody? Folks, good folks, dying of it every day. I'll tell you, mister, when you see those red spots on your belly and you're burning up with fever, y'all won't find it so funny.
And I didn't find it very funny when I got back to Toronto in 1935. The Texas land deeds I bought were useless. I found those bastards 80 years ago had declared me legally dead after I'd vanished and sold my property at public auction. I got nothing for all my trouble, except typhoid fever. But you see what a disaster that was. I couldn't approach a doctor without answering some very embarrassing questions. What choice did I have except to appeal for help in the least likely quarter. Uncle Corliss.
Hark.
Uncle, Please.
Do I hear the voice of my delinquent nephew? Is that you, Roger, my boy?
Yes. Oh, Uncle, thank God you're still alive. I was afraid that man-eating plant had got you.
Oh, fat chance. Spit at the damn thing in the gizzard with a homemade spear. You should have seen me.
I'll bring you back. I swear I will.
You'll do no such thing. I've never been so happy in my life.
You what?
Fortunately, I had some matches in my pocket when I was transported. Did a few tricks with the locals, and they made me a god. It does wonders for your self-respect.
Uncle, I'm sick. Where's the medicine? Please.
Oh, if you want to know that, you'll have to send me some more matches. I'm running low, and we gods have a reputation to keep up. Oh, and a flashlight, too. Time for some tricks at night, I think. I don't suppose you'd be able to get me any fireworks, would you?
No.
Oh, pity. Australopithecus would have loved fireworks, you know.
Medicine. Have typhoid.
Oh, typhoid, eh? Chloramphenicol's the stuff for you. Now, suppose you just run and get the matches and the flashlight and send them here on the double. Then I'll tell you where the special medicines are kept.
I sent off his damned Wow the Natives trinkets and got back the whereabouts of the medicine just in time. The recovery was slow and painful, but nothing compared to the next blow.
And you know, Rog, I looked at Alistair here and I just got to tingling all over.
But Andrea, what about us?
And I looked at her there, and Roger, old man, I saw the little gal of my dreams.
Why didn't you tell me sooner?
Oh, Roger, we wanted to, but you were so sick and all.
Dear boy, our sort don't kick a man when he's down.
No, you very kindly waited until I got up.
Well, you know, Roger, I don't think you're being a very good sport about this.
Oh, I'm not.
Now, Roger, you mustn't be bitter. You know Mommy and Daddy would never let me marry you. They always insisted I should stay with my own set.
And this is your own set?
Oh, Roger, the McCourts are one of the oldest families in Toronto.
This, Alistair here, he's one of the McCourts.
My family goes back 5 generations here.
Does it? Well,
Roger, dear, you mean you really understand? You're not angry?
Oh, no, Andrea, no. Well, maybe right now, but not for long.
More tea, Mr. Pennethorne?
No, thank you, Mr. Nibbitt. You have enough background information now, do you think?
Oh, dear me, yes. I should be able to assemble quite a nice little genealogy for you on the basis of what you've told me, Mr. Pennethorne. Invaluable for ancestral
research. And this other matter, Mr. Nibbitt.
In fact, it looks as if I'm going to be able to trace a direct connection with your family all the way to the colonial town of York at the end of the 18th century.
Mr. Nibbitt.
Mind you, the vital statistics were only centrally collected in Ontario from 1869 on. I could tell you horror stories of burnt
Mr. Nibbitt.
Registers.
The other matter I asked you about, the McCourts.
McCourts, yes, of course, the McCourts. You need a little information for a...
Yes, a novel I'm writing.
A novel, yes, of course. Now, where did I put that stuff?
I asked you a specific question. To trace a direct line of descent from Alistair McCourt, right here and now, back to some ancestor who might have died a violent death, likely to have been in duels, you know, that sort of stuff.
But none of them did die.
I said likely to, Mr. Nibbitt. Poor risk to live long, you know.
Oh, dear me, most of Mr. McCourt's ancestors led such placid lives. But...
Yes?
Sir Rupert McCourt, now there's a possibility. Great-great-grandfather of Alistair McCourt. He was deputy commander of the garrison in Muddy York, right here.
Hot-tempered, in trouble alone?
Oh, my, yes. Fought 3 duels. Survived them all.
And where can I find him?
Find him?
If I imagine myself back there for my novel, where would I imagine him to be?
Oh, well, Sir Rupert was a great dancer and ladies' man. Any of the garrison balls, New Year's, King's birthday, about 1800, you'd be sure to catch him, so to speak.
Good. Oh, one last question. When did he marry and have children?
Oh, he married later in life. Here we are, McCourt, Rupert Bertram Baronet. Married 1810, first child born 1812.
So at New Year's 1800, say, he'd still be childless.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Nibbitt. You've been more help than you'll ever know. And now, if you'll excuse me.
But, Mr. Pennethorne, we haven't finished your family tree.
But I had someone else's family tree in mind. I thought I'd do a little pruning. Now, set dials for New Year's Eve. 1800.
Damn. All right. I'm coming.
Special packet from Mr. Nibbitt, sir, from Mr. Roger Corliss. Mr. Corliss?
I'm right here, thank you. Well, what are you staring at?
Well,
Have you ever seen a colonial red coat before?
Not all over wire, sir, no. And those earmuffs.
Oh, as well, I'm going to a party.
Oh.
When I opened the letter, one glance was enough to show me that that fool Nibbitt had sent me more nonsense about my own family tree. I stuffed it hurriedly in my uniform pocket. I buckled on my dress sword and set out for Muddy York.
Well, then I looked at her, and damn me, I saw the little girl of my dream.
Sir, I am led to understand that you are Sir Rupert McCourt.
Your servant, sir, but you have the advantage of me. I fear I do not have the honor of your acquaintance. May I ask your name and regiment?
You may, Sir Rupert, but the only answer you'll get is this.
By your dress and rank, sir, I presume you're to be a gentleman. I fear you're also a madman. Do you know whom you have just struck?
I do. Permit me to introduce myself. Major Roger Pennethorne, at your service. There lies my glove. Do you care to retrieve it?
With pleasure. Name your friends.
Well, I'm a stranger in the area, Sir Rupert. As one gentleman to another, I'll accept whomever you nominate.
Agreed. Tomorrow, dawn then. Garrison grounds behind the powder magazine.
Sir? You're most humble and obedient.
Major Pettithorne, I believe.
Oh, you believe correctly, sir.
I'm Captain Blunt, your appointed second. You are each to use your own pistols, I understand.
Yes. I have mine right here.
A violin case?
Well, it's an unusual pistol.
Good Lord. Yeah,
but I have, as you say, my own choice.
Well, it's certainly not a musket.
No.
Do I have your word of honor? It's not some kind of newfangled cannon.
A word of honor.
Well, I suppose we had better proceed. Walk over to Sir Rupert there and stand with your back to him, your pistol raised. He would prefer, by the way, you not address him.
Oh, it's a pity. I'd hope to say goodbye.
Mr. Markland there will count off the paces. Count of five, you are to turn and fire. Do you understand, Major?
Perfectly.
Are you ready, gentlemen?
Yeah.
We are.
Mr. Markland, if you please. The count.
One. Two. Three. Four. Five.
Of course, I regretted shooting down poor old Blunt and the others. My real target, after all, was only Sir Rupert. But to leave witnesses to a machine gun attack back in 1800 would be tying history in knots. And one has one's responsibilities in these things. Fat little good my scruples did me. Because when I pushed the reverse current button to come back to 1935... Oh, I left 1800 all right, but I stayed in limbo. Here, in the nothingness, between the years, frantically, I pushed every button on the damn power pack, tried every combination. No good. Nothing. Still nothing but this gray vacancy all around me. As I twisted and turned in desperation, I suddenly felt the letter in my pocket. The last-minute communication from Mr. Nibbitt, the genealogist. Uneasily, I opened it.
My dear Mr. Pennethorne, in researching your family tree in the ancestral line of Mr. Alistair McCourt, I have just come upon a coincidence so astonishing, so gratifying, that I felt I must communicate with you at once. from my perusal of unpublished letters in the McCourt archives, it becomes perfectly clear that Sir Rupert McCourt was for years the secret lover of Mrs. Letitia Pennethorne, your own great-great-grandmother. All the observers of the time agreed, in whispers, of course, that her son, Lionel Pennethorne, your great-grandfather, was the spitting image of Sir Rupert. Mr. Pennethorne, I am overjoyed to inform you that you are the great-great-grandson of Sir Rupert McCourt. Congratulations, and most respectfully yours, Herbert Nibbett.
And there, you see, I was. I mean, here, you see, I am. I murdered my own great-great-grandfather. I can't go back or forward because, you see, there's no me to move around anymore. I blotted myself out of existence. But, if I didn't exist, I can't have killed Sir Rupert. Therefore, I do exist. Therefore, I canceled my existence. Therefore, I can't have canceled my existence. Therefore, I did cancel my existence. Therefore, and... Oh, God, I'm going mad. And there isn't anyone to go mad. And there never was. Is anyone there? Is anyone there? Can anyone hear me?
Come in, please. Hello. Are you out there? Nothing. We are signing off. Roger? Over and out?
Past Imperfect by John Douglas, starring Neil Monroe as Roger and Eric House as Uncle Corliss. You also heard Robin Craig, John Bayliss, John Douglas, and Dawn Dickinson in a variety of roles. Casting consultant was Ann Tate with Catherine Kester. Original music was composed and conducted by Lucio Agostini. Recording engineer was John McCarthy, with sound effects by Jean Sarazin. And the production assistant was Nina Callahan. The series script editor is Sandra Rabinovich. The series musical theme is by John Roby, and the voice of Vanishing Point is David Calderisi. Past Imperfect was produced at Studio G in Toronto by Stephen Katz. The executive producer of Vanishing Point is William Lane. Next Monday evening on Vanishing Point, we present an adaptation of a short story by the celebrated Italian writer Dino Buzzati, The Count's Wife, starring Nikki Guadagni and Richard Manette. Until next week, I'm Lorna Jackson, wishing you good night.